ye were Gentiles carried away into dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I love that. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but in the same God, which worketh all in all. You notice the triune language there. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, how many gifts of the Spirit are there, church? 9 different gifts of the Spirit. Let's keep this in mind. We're going to look at these 9 here. It says this. I'm going to read verse 8. It says this. For to one is given the Spirit of wisdom. That's number 1. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's number 2. To another, faith by the same Spirit. That's number 3. And to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That's number 4. To another, the working of miracles. That's 5. To another, prophecy. 6. To another, discerning of spirits. 7. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. That's 8. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. 9 different gifts of the Spirit. Notice that. But then let's look here at verse 11. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So we're going to talk tonight about the gifts of the Spirit, to preach about it. And I would that God would just add His blessing. I have really been praying about doing this for a long time. I know I went through a series where I felt like, you probably felt like I preached about the Holy Ghost so much. Well, we can't stop there. There's so much more within the things of God. And I probably, one of the most disheartening things that bothers me is when I pick up a book or read a commentary that discredits these gifts from the church. I feel like that does the church more injustice when somebody tells me that these gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That bothers me. I'm sorry. I get offended and I get defensive about that when somebody looks at me and says that those 9 gifts right there are not for you, but they were just for a select group of people back in the days of the apostles. How disheartening is that? I'm glad to know that these 9 gifts are still available. And not only are they still available, they should be in operation in your lives and in our church. Shouldn't be. Now, we can say, well, you'll hear this argument sometimes. Well, there's a better way, and it's called charity. You'll never find in the Bible where Paul says charity is to do away with the gifts. They are to accompany the gifts. They're not to do away with the gifts. They are to accompany the gifts. We are to operate with the gifts of the Spirit with love and with charity. But not with charity and without the gifts. We're not to separate them. We are to still have these gifts alive and within the church today. So as we look at this tonight, my friend, as we move into this, we are now going to look at the natural progression in the life of the Holy Ghost-filled believer. Not only are we to be filled with the Spirit, but we're also told, my friend, that these 9 gifts of the Spirit are for you and are for me. While there are many things that the Holy Ghost does for us, one of the most overlooked blessings of the Holy Ghost, I believe, is equipping the believer to be used and used in the gifts of the Spirit of God. These gifts are to be an operation in Abundant Life Tabernacle. And my friend, it should never come to a point where these gifts are not in operation. They should always be in operation with inside our churches. But my friend, tonight as we look at this, and as you please give me your attention, I know this may not be the most interesting subject to some, but it's needed. One of the most, my friend, some we have to understand, there are many reasons for people overlooking the gifts and not wanting to really operate in them or want them to be operated in. There's many different reasons. We're going to go over a few different reasons. What I have found in traveling, what I have found in studying, why some people do not believe the gifts are for today, or when the gifts do operate, they look at you like a cat looking at a new gate. Come on now. Let me ask you a question. You ever heard a message in tongues and you look at somebody and they just are like this? If you've never seen that before, then I hope that ain't you looking like this. I hope you're doing more like this. Amen. When somebody is using the gifts of the Spirit, it should not be something that shocks the church. It shouldn't scare the church. It shouldn't just motivate the church. It is something that edifies the church, my friend. And my friend and I, as we go over these different reasons why I believe the gifts are overlooked, the number one reason tonight, we're going to go over some different ones. The first reason that the gifts are overlooked is because, number one, because of ignorance. Because of ignorance, my friend. Some people, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, they are completely ignorant to what they are and what they are when they begin to operate. Now, a careful look at the word ignorant removes all
benefit from the word. When I say that word ignorance tonight, it's not to offend anybody. But what that word ignorance means when you study and you look it up, my friend, ignorance does not mean that someone does not have the capability to learn about the gifts, but it's when somebody has not been told or seen the gifts in operation. It's not that they cannot learn. It's not that they will not learn. But the very first excuse you find when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, when it comes to ignorance, my friend, it's when people are ignorant to the place. Look, they can learn about it. They should learn about it. But they've never seen the operation, and they never really learned, especially not only through the Word, but learned through experience, what the gifts of the Spirit are. And my friend, we've got to understand, this is because of two major things I want to note here. The ways that the ignorance of the gifts affects the body of the believers is this, because there is no understanding of the gifts, and there's no move of the gifts. You take a church, or you take a body of the believers, where they do not see the gifts in operation for 10 years, and you'll find a whole generation of people that are not accustomed to what it is. You move it for 20 years, you'll find a whole entire generation that does not even have a clue what the gifts of the Spirit is, that is ignorant of the gifts because they've not only had not learned about it, but they've never seen them in operation. Now, I have been blessed over the years. I've been in a lot of services where I've seen people using the gifts of the Spirit. I've seen people give messages in tongues. I've seen people used in prophecy. I've seen people used with wisdom and knowledge. And I have, not multitudes of miracles, but I have seen some different miracles and different people that had miraculous faith over the years. I thank God for that. And I thought to myself today and throughout the week when I was studying for this, how empty would my life be if I never had those experiences in my life? If I never had used camps and camp meetings as a little boy, if I'd never seen somebody touched and healed, if I'd never seen somebody speak in tongues and give a message interpretation, if I'd never seen somebody use the gift of discernment, if I'd never seen the gift of wisdom and knowledge being used, if I'd never seen those things, I thought to myself, I would not have nearly the faith that I have nowadays. Every time I've seen it, has built my faith. Every time I've seen it, it has edified me. And my friend, that is the profit with all. The gifts of the Spirit are to be seen today. And my friend, the moves of the gifts are to be something that is an operation in our services, not just once every other camp meeting, not just once every 5 years. I'm telling you, they are to be operated in continually. And you say, Brother Dick, every service, I'm not opposed to the gifts of the Spirit being used every service. And you say, hey, I want you to understand this. The gifts of the Spirit are more than just tongues and interpretation. Sometimes you say the gifts of the Spirit, that's all people know. But my friend, there's so much more when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. And it is a shame if our children has never seen them in operation. It's a shame. Especially if we're Pentecostal. It's a shame. Now, there's reasons that this happens. Even it quit getting taught or quit being believed. It either quit being taught or it's quit being believed. So because there is no understanding of the gifts, there is no move of the gifts. But because there is no understanding of the gifts, my friend, sometimes the gifts are used improperly. Now, I've seen the gifts used, but I've also seen them used improperly. I've seen the gifts used in the Spirit, but I've also been to places before you could tell there was an improper moving of the Spirit, improper use of the gifts. And you say, Brother Derek, what do you do when that happens? I'll tell you what you do. You don't give it all your attention. You still have church. It shouldn't take one person getting it. My friend, I'm telling you this. When there's a multitude of people or a group of people, you cannot prevent everybody from getting in the flesh. You can try your best, but you can't keep everybody from disobeying God or doing something outside the will of God. I've been in service before when you could tell somebody was out of order. What do? You don't shut the service down. You keep on preaching. You keep on worshiping. You don't give it more benefit or more attention than what it's worth. And then if you need to, you deal with it later. There's times that you deal with it. There's times that you correct it. But there's sometimes people act in ignorance, my friend. My friend, tonight when it comes to the gifts, the reasons that is overlooked in ignorance, my friend, is because there's no move of the gifts or there's an improper move of the gifts. And sometimes the abuse of the gifts is just as damaging and maybe even more damaging when somebody lacks the gifts. It has to be a balance in it all. But my friend, you said, Brother Derek, when do you tell? How can you tell when somebody's in the flesh? I'll tell you how you can. You can tell when somebody's in the Spirit. You can tell when God's trying to use somebody. You can tell when the Spirit of God's trying to move in a service. There's a witness within the Spirit of those that are filled and those that can tell what's going on. And my friend, we've got to understand today, we need the moving of the Spirit of God in our churches that our children and even ourselves can witness them. Now, as we look at this, we've got to understand a few things. You are to seek the gifts. He didn't put it in a suggestion box. You are to earnestly covet the gifts. You are to seek the gifts. It ought to be something in your life. But my friend, more than you seek the gifts, you need to seek the giver. You need to be filled with the giver. And you get close enough to the giver, you will have the gifts. Now, I'm not Brad. Please don't take this wrong. But I shared this here before. There was one portion of my life, and amen, sometimes I long for the days of less responsibility. I remember there was one time I really felt God deal with my heart about the gifts of the Spirit. And I thought to myself, Lord, how do you seek after the gifts? And I began to fast and pray for them. And my friend, the Lord, what I learned in this and that experience in my life, and my friend, it wouldn't hurt me to go back and redo it all over again. What I learned of that is the closer that I got to God, the more used of the gifts that I was. It wasn't that I was seeking to be used in the gifts of interpretation in tongues. It wasn't that I was seeking to be used in all. Yes, you are to seek those. But as I sought the Lord, those things came in my relationship. As I sought the Lord, then instantly I began to feel the sensitivity, the unction and the understanding of how to yield myself to the Spirit that He could use me. The second reason that gifts are overlooked is because of the spirit of indifference. Not only is there a spirit of ignorance, my friend, but there is a spirit of indifference. And that word indifferent means a lack of interest or concern or sympathy. It is sad to say that we sit in areas in our churches where people are completely disinterested in the Spirit. And there's an indifferent spirit when it comes to the Holy Ghost and to the gifts. Some people are saying this, well, if He moves, that's okay. If He don't, that's okay. It should never be. We ought to leave here at times burdened and weeping if the will of God is not done. It ought to creep inside of us to the place that we ought to go home. It ought to be your bread and butter that you pray, God, if I go to the house of God and your will of God is not done, that ought to disturb your heart. You should never be content without the Spirit uprooting us and dealing with us and dealing with sin. And it bothers me when sinners come to church and leave here a sinner. It bothers me when people need to be filled, leave here unfilled. It bothers me when people come and need to lay down things and don't lay them down. But my friend, how can we see these things happen? We once again need to open the door to the spontaneous moving and the influence of the Holy Ghost. It's not always going to be planned. It's not always going to be, you ain't going to have 14 hours to write down and pray about it. There's times the Holy Ghost wants to move and He wants to do it right now and you don't have time to vote about it. If God wants to use you in a gift, it shouldn't take you, well, God should have told me 3 days ago. What kind of mess is this? You should have told God 3 days ago you wanted to be used. You should have told God 2 days ago you wanted to be used. You should have told God yesterday you wanted to be used. You should tell God today you want to be used. It shouldn't be that we have to fit Him in our box. You ought to fit in His box. You ought to listen to His Spirit, His promptings. But if we move the spontaneous out of the way, we just go through motions and we just go through what's planned. Amen. You know I'm telling the truth. It shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be, well, that's not what I planned. Sometimes what you plan may not be the best thing for the church. My friend, if we get so business-minded within the Pentecostal ranks, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. We shouldn't be business-minded. We should be spiritual-minded. Carnal people are business-minded. Carnal people can give you advice about worldly things. There's certain things you do look at the church and you say, this is common sense, and that is common sense. But sometimes God wants you to take you out of that sense. He wants to give you a spiritual sense. He wants to give you spiritual understanding. He wants to give you spiritual wisdom. He wants to give you spiritual knowledge. He wants to give you spiritual miracles. He wants to give you spiritual tongue. He wants to speak to us. He wants the wisdom of heaven to enter into this room, and we should never be indifferent to when it comes to the things of God. We should not be comfortable in the the reason that we have this indifference is because not only if there's an indifference to the gifts, but if secretly, and we may not admit to it, there's a secret indifference with God. How do you know that, Brother Derek? Because God says, seek for Him. If you don't seek for Him, there's a form of indifference. Amen. It's like God saying, go out and evangelize. You say, I don't want to evangelize. And God would look at us and say, you're indifferent to my word. It's like the Bible telling us, covet and seek the gifts, and you don't seek the gifts. You're indifferent. I'm indifferent, or you're indifferent. We have to overcome this indifference in our lives. And my friend, when it comes to this, we've got to understand. If you ever heard somebody, we asked them, how was church? And they say, it was good. How was church? It was good. How was church? It was good. What that term means and that idea means is that it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It kind of fit my needs. It kind of met me where I needed to be. But my friend, I'm telling you, we got to get past just good services. We need to get more into supernatural, outstanding, I can't put it into word services. If our services fit our own mold, every service, something's wrong. If this service here just never gets bigger than my mindset and than what I planned, then something is wrong. I tell you what it is. There's death in the Pentecostal pot. There's something wrong somewhere. There's a rot. There's a something eating away at Pentecostal experiences where there's a decay, where there's a rationalist mindset, where there's something that is deteriorating and reading away at the Pentecostal core, my friend. We've got to do more than just have a good service. But let me ask you a question. When you leave church, you've got to ask yourself these questions. Was anybody saved? Was anybody filled? Was anybody saved? Was anybody filled? Did anyone get help? Was there a manifestation of the Spirit visible in the lives of believers? And my friend, if we look at all those things and none of those things happened, and we say, oh, it was just good, then we've missed something somewhere. It's got to be to the place we're praying for these things to take place in our lives. Now, my friend, the final reason that the gifts of the Spirit are overlooked in the church is, my friend, is the third reason I find is one of the biggest, is fear of the flesh. People are afraid of the flesh. You ain't got to be afraid of it. If you get to a place that you get to the place that you're so afraid of the flesh, my friend, then it proves the point that we are not spiritual enough to try the spirits. Paul knew that some people were going to get in the flesh. And that's why he tells us that we need to try the spirits. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You can look at a person and you can analyze a person and know if they're living a life good enough to be used and influential within the gifts. Now I know that if somebody comes in here and they look like they just came out of the projects and they got earrings and they're drugged up and drunk and they give a message in tongues. No dust, not God. Okay? But if somebody comes in here and they're praying and they're fasting to be used, it should never be that it can't be used here. I've got to preach this regardless because God's laid it on my heart. It should never be they don't feel comfortable to be used in the Spirit. It should never be an atmosphere where there's a quenching or there's a deadness. My friend, it shouldn't be the Holy Ghost has to go 25 rounds with the believer before He can get them to believe in the spontaneous outpouring, my friend. It should be an instantaneous looking as soon as we come to church that we're looking for God to do something. My friend, if you cannot discern it, my friend, at times what people do, if they can't discern it, they shut it all down. We tell people they need to be used in discernment. Some people ain't never had a situation to discern. We need to be used. We need to be able to try the spirits. There's some people ain't had enough opportunity to try a spirit. We've got to understand this. We've got to be able to discern it. If we can't discern it, it doesn't mean we just shut it down. This is particular fault of the Baptist and the non-filled denominations, my friend. We've got to understand we're Pentecostal. We believe in the outpouring. We believe in the filling. We believe in the completion. We believe in the gifts. We believe in that if we label ourselves Pentecostal. If I label myself Pentecostal and don't believe in those, I just told you a lie. You ever heard the term charismatic? You know, we gave the world that word. We are charismatic here today. You read Webster's dictionary, what it used to mean back in the days. It meant used of the gifts. many continuation of the gifts. But I'll tell you what happened to the Pentecostal church. Worldly people begin to get used or are starting to strive to try to live a life where you know good and well something's wrong somewhere. So we let them take the term and say, well, the gifts are for them, not for us. It should never be. The gifts are still for Abundant Life Tabernacle. We are still a church that believes in continuation, that still believes in the progression of the gifts of the Spirit in our churches, my friend. We pray we are not to be afraid even to fail in the gifts. If you've ever been used or seeking to be used, let me ask you a question. I've talked to people before. I ask, what hinders you from being used in the gifts? And they'll say something like this, I'm afraid I'm a fail and get in the flesh. That's what they say. I'm afraid somebody's going to judge me. I'm going to fail. But I would once again, the Spirit of God would move. Well, the approval of men, I could care less about. Anytime God's ever used me in a gift, I didn't care what anybody thought. I care what He thought. I remember, and this is like I said, nothing. Please don't ever take this wrong. The gifts are not mine. God uses us in the gifts. I remember one service, I fought it so much. I knew God had a message for that church. And I fought it so much. I sat there and I cried. I said, Lord, I don't go to church here. I am a visitor here. How in the world do you get, there's other people here that surely they're using the gifts. And I said, surely, Lord, in God's design, I felt it echoing it through my heart. God, the Holy Ghost was speaking through me and telling me what to speak and say. And my friend, instantly when it came forth, I seen such a great result in the altars. I wasn't worried. I got to the place. I could care less what anybody thought about me. I knew heaven had His approval on it. And it didn't matter what anybody thought. I knew God was in it. And who am I to obey, God or man? I'll tell you a trap churches fall in. When they have one person labeled that can be using the gifts, and if anybody else is used, they're wrong. Come on. They'll say, I heard them say before, well, Sister so-and-so gives a message here, brother. I said, you need to worship Christ and get off Sister so-and-so's back. Quit riding out her experience and seek your own. I remember going to church one time, and as soon as anybody else would be used of the Lord, they instantly would go, I see the pastor go to him after service. Just walk right up to him and said, look, I'm sorry. You know, and you could tell that instantly there was an argument or discussion of how, you know, you're out of order. You know, usually that's not the order here. We do this. It should never be. No individual in here has a patent on any of the gifts. I don't. You don't. You don't have a right to say, that's my territory. No, it's not your. It's God's territory. Anytime, let me tell you what happens, what I have witnessed there. Anytime we label one person, say, well, they're using the gift, and if it's not her or not him, then it's nobody else. I'll tell you what happens. The gifts die out. Because you have people afraid to obey God. And when you have people that are afraid to obey God because of that mentality, then you see the gifts begin to be quenched and not used. And you see a church going into formalism. That should not be. The Bible tells us we are afraid to fail. I mean, when we're talking about, the Bible says this, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. The fear of either missing God or looking bad constricts the move of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. But my friend, the baptism power of the Holy Ghost and self-consciousness do not even go together. When the Holy Ghost moves on you, you lose your self-consciousness to the place you don't care about your personality or respect. I know God's a God of order. But God's not the God that He's going to have to go say, is it all right? Is it all right? Is it all right? All right. I'll use her. I'll use him. Never should be. It should be this way. If the Holy Ghost desires to use somebody and then know that they're able to be used, then that's what we need to allow to happen. You must become so God-conscious that the idol of self falls at the power of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost uses you, you've got to become God-conscious and not man-conscious to the place you're worried about everybody else. Let me give you an example. If God wanted to all of a sudden use me in a prophecy or you in a prophecy to tell somebody that something was going wrong, and you knew they'd be offended, and you knew God wanted you to tell them, would you have enough of the Holy Ghost to obey Him, or are you going to say, well, I don't want Him to be mad at me? There's been times, my friend, I had to step over everybody's opinion, and I had to point my finger and say, and thus saith the word of the Lord, and I had to obey the Lord rather than man. And as we look at this, my friend, as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, we do not need to be taken back by them. The gifts of the Spirit are not man-made, and it's not a man-made idea. Sometimes we get this organization mindset to where it has to be so-and-so, it has to be here, it has to be this way. My friend, even when you look at the gifts, there's a diversity of them. They're not man-made. You don't pick and choose. I don't pick and choose. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. It's not a man-made idea of what the Holy Ghost looks like. But this, my friend, let me give you three things about the gifts of the Spirit. They are established biblically. Number one, the Bible tells us that the gifts of the Spirit throughout these studies we'll talk about, that we'll find that the gifts are established in the Scriptures, especially by Paul and Luke. The Bible put it, the Bible says they're real. The Bible said they should be. Not a human being. And no human being has the right to undermine that. My friend, not only are they established biblically, but guess what? History testifies of the gifts. You read through the book of Acts, you find them. You read through the epistles, you find them. You read through church history, you find them. You find them with Justin the Martyr. You find them with Irenaeus, Polycarp, and different ones, tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit were used. But not only established biblically and historically, but they are established experimentally. My friend, hopefully in this building today, hopefully you've been exposed to the gifts somewhere, somehow. I hope you have. If you haven't, it'll show. When God wants to use somebody, let God use them. Let God use them. As we look at this, my friend, we must understand. Let's look at the category of the gifts tonight. The first category of the gifts are the gift we know as revelation gifts. It is, the number one is the word of knowledge. It is God sharing with man His divine knowledge to answer a specific situation, a specific need, or a specific question. It's when God gives you a word of knowledge. Then you have the word of wisdom, the ability to say and do the right thing at the right time in a spiritual crisis. This is more than just wisdom. But it's God's wisdom being forwarded and deposited to you that you can be used and have direction to do something for a situation. Then we have the discerning of spirits. It's making a distinction or judgment of what is taking place in the spiritual realm. My God, we need that. Sometimes we're trying to counsel people on a human level. Sometimes we're trying to talk to people with human terms. When there's something that's taking place spiritually. When there's a problem that's deeper than what you can see. It's deeper than what you will talk about at another time. But my friend, everything cannot be met with a pill. Everything the doctor cannot straighten out in your life. Everything you cannot fight in a carnal battle. There's some things that are spiritual. And my God, we need the discerning of spirits once again to find out if it's spiritual or if it's fleshly or what it is. I told somebody one time, they were asking about demons and demon possession. And we were talking about how it's more prevalent on the mission field. That people I have seen just on the mission field. I've dealt with demons more there. I said, the reason being. I said, in America, you don't know if you're dealing with demons or depression medicine. You ain't got a clue. I remember praying for a woman one time. She was so full of something. I hate to say demons. I don't know. There was demons, oppression, vexation or something. And I remember when I was praying for her, she was falling asleep. She'd wake up crying and look at me. And she'd nose walk off asleep. I remember I finally said, wake up, look at me. I said, this is serious. I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I couldn't get past the dope medicine she was on. I couldn't get past that pill. It had her so drugged up. My friend, that's the problem. We'll send them to rehab, give them all sorts of medicine, and then when it comes, we never deal with it on a spiritual level. We're dealing with it with medicine. My friend, there's sometimes your depression should not be fought with a pill. You ought to pray through about something. Why go get your conscience numbed? When it's a spiritual battle. I can't find no joy. Why can't you? You get your grip in Jesus Christ. You'll find joy anywhere. I'm not diminishing battles. I'm not diminishing problems. But there's things that are spiritual and have to be dealt with that way. And there needs to be the discerning of spirits. We have the second category of gifts. It's the vocal gifts. It's the diverse kinds of tongues. The interpretation of tongues, prophecy. My Lord, how many knows tongues is part of Pentecost? Oh, it died. I dealt with a very rational person in my family one time. And anytime God used somebody, there was a message, tongues interpretation, or people praying out to the Lord. You know, we'll talk about that another time. Tongues, you can talk to the Lord and pray to Him. There's a prophet with all. There's a prophet for the individual. But my friend, I was talking to him one time. He kept saying, there just ain't no need in all that. I said, there needing all what? Ain't no need in somebody speaking in tongues and somebody else. I said, why not? You would tell you it was. They didn't feel comfortable in their flesh, so they rejected it. It was outside of their comfort. Sometimes we have a box and everything's supposed to go this way, and we say, well, I don't see why God would have somebody to speak in tongues and sound like that. It may offend some. The Bible talks about it's for the lost. Let the unbeliever hear these things. Let them hear the interpretation. The Bible gives us direction. The third category, my friend, are the power gifts. The gift of faith. The gifts of healing. The working of miracles, my friend. Now that we understand what the gifts are, their place, their operation, there are a few questions that we need to ask. Number one today, why do we need the gifts today in the church? Why do we even need them? Why do we need them? We need them, my friend, for so many different reasons. They would tell you as you study the Bible history, they would tell you that the gifts of the Spirit were for the original apostles because they had so many people who did not believe in the moving of the Spirit, and they were trying to establish the church, and that's why they needed the gifts of the Spirit, and guess what? I agree with them. But that's the same reason we need them. Do you think that all the skeptics died when Peter died? Do you think all the skeptics died when Paul died? Do you think the devil died when Paul died? Don't be fooled. Just because we got 50 churches up and down these roads doesn't mean these are churches. The reason is we relate them as churches because it's a building with a steeple. And that's as far as we've gotten. What makes the church? I'll tell you what makes the church. The Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ. The moving of the Spirit, testifying of Christ in us, in the church, outside. That's what makes the church. You read the book of Acts and you fuss about it later, but you'll find out I'm right. That's what the church is. It's not a testimony of steeples. I hear people say, well, there's a big church up there. I tell you, it's just beautiful. My friend, it's a social club. If all they can offer is basketball and ice cream, it's nothing but a social club. I can go to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream cone any day. You know I love ice cream. I love eating it with you. But that's all we become. It's a social club. That's all we are. We're not a church. If all we do is feed each other in fellowship, we're not a church. There has to be spiritual edification. Has to be. We do not have to go to the world for this. My friend, just like in the early days, I wholeheartedly agree. It's for the same reason that I believe that the gifts are in operation today. One needs only to look at the perversion of the world and understand that the church, once again, needs to operate in the supernatural. We need the miracles. We need the gifts at work in front of us. And it was for this purpose that Paul wrote that he would not have us ignorant of the gifts. He was saying this to them, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts. He's looking at them. I don't want you to not have no knowledge about this. You should have knowledge. Especially if you've got a Bible. I know Brother Glenn's taught on it. I know it's been taught on here. I don't doubt that one bit. Do I believe it's operated in? I believe that. Lord, I hope so. I hadn't been here but a year. But I love to think and know that God has used the gifts over here over the years. I'm sure many of you could tell me of testimonies. But what about now? We need them. Now, amen. I need them. I told my wife the other day, God help me. I said, if I cannot show my little daughter, Chloe, when she gets of the age, if all I can do is tell her that I love Jesus and she never sees nothing more than just a good attitude, I want my daughter to be a Pentecostal child. I love when I was little. I remember seeing Mama get up in a chair one time, and you can argue if you want. See, she was in the flesh. You take it up with God. I remember Mama one time underneath you. What happened? Let me explain the situation before somebody says she hurt God's furniture. What happened one time, my friend, is that it was a camp meeting. Had about 600 people there and nobody see the preacher. So people, there's little fold-out chairs in the back. It wasn't a precious pew, I promise. Got out there and stepped on that well chair. I remember seeing the preacher up there. I remember Mama getting underneath the unction of the Holy Ghost. And she began to shout underneath the power of God. I'm glad I saw that. I'm glad to know that I had a grandma see you, which Brother Glenn knows, my great-grandfather, Grenada LT. I remember more than one time I'm sitting there and she let out an old war whoop that would put chills right down your backbone. And she'd go, "Woo!" I remember being a little boy looking. I'm glad I saw it. Oh, God. I'm glad when I was a little boy, I remember hearing somebody giving a message in tongues. I can tell you the words. The great Lord Jesus Christ says, "Prepare your hearts. One day I'm still coming." I remember being a little boy and it echoed through my heart. Sister and so-and-so, when God used her, said, "The Lord's a coming. I better serve Him." I'm glad I heard that. I'm glad to know, my friend, there's been times in my own life I said, "God, if my daughter can't witness none of that, I'd rather put my suit in a Goodwill, go find myself in a cave and try to make it till you come. I want to see God move." Paul said, "Don't be ignorant about these gifts." He said, "I want you to know about them. I want you to have knowledge about these things." He was letting us know this is the purpose of them. Our first answer to a question about the purpose is this, that we might individually prosper with all. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." It is to profit the church, not edify one individual. It's to profit us all when the gifts are used. How many wants the church to profit? You know what I've learned, and I'm still learning, which everybody should know this. God can do more in 10 seconds than I can do in an hour of preaching. There's sometimes I'll preach till I get so weak, Phil. I remember one time I was preaching in Africa. It was 110 degrees. I remember, brother, I didn't drink much water. I was behind a pulpit. And you talking about sweating. You ain't got a clue about sweating. I mean, I felt myself kind of all of a sudden feel like a flat. I don't know what it was. I got weak in my knees. I said, "Whoa." And I grabbed that platform there. I was giving it all I had. And people kind of sitting there saying, "Amen," in different languages. But I know when the Spirit came, He didn't have to sweat nearly as much as I did. I could tell when God began to move, He began to touch hearts. I was just an instrument to prepare their hearts, my friend. It says that it is the profit with all. That word there, profit with all, means to be better or to gain an advantage. The gifts are to be an advantage of seeing the work of God in our lives. The second reason we have to need the gifts is this. It's so that the entire church can profit. It tells us this. It says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the whole entire church." It's for all of us. Now, He wasn't condemned somebody speaking in tongues by themselves. He's saying, "You still profit from that, but you're speaking mysteries. Nobody else has a clue what you're talking about." Does that mean somebody's never to speak in tongues? No, it's not. I'm glad when God speaks through me, and I ain't going to quench Him one bit. No matter who likes it, I've got to have the blessings and know the mind of God. But I also understand that's not to be the whole thing. If I stood up here for 45 minutes and spoke in tongues to you, you wouldn't learn anything. God's given us prophecy. He's given us the messages and tongues. He's given us all these things. He tells us this, "He that speaketh in the unknown tongue edifieth himself." But He says the church may receive edification when the gifts are in operation. My third question tonight is this, whose gifts are they? You ever heard somebody say, "I have the gift of healing"? You ever heard somebody say that? No, they don't. Silly, silly preacher, it's not yours. "I have the gift of prophecy." No, you don't, silly man. "I have the gift of discernment." You know, that's what everybody wants to tell the pastor. "I've got the gifts of discernment." And it's not even biblical. It's the discerning of spirits. They can discern everybody's situation but their own. It's the discerning of spirits. It's a spiritual discernment. It ain't just walking up to me and you telling me this. No, it's the discerning of spirits. It's recognizing what spiritually is happening. It's knowing what spirits are involved. My friend, we know this. They're not our gifts. The first thing that we must notice is that they are not possessed nor owned by any man. That's why we have so many false preachers and people are deceived today, because somebody thinks they have the gift of healing. "And if you send me money, I will heal you." If you fall for that, you're not reading the Bible. Come on! If you send your money to some of them guys and say, "Well, Benny Hinn said, please, who are you kidding?" Anybody ever heard of Benny Hinn? I seen him hit somebody with a suitcase one time and 5,000 people fell over. I thought to myself, really? I have trouble getting them to come to the altar. But it doesn't mean something's wrong with me. It means that he is prostituting a false movement. Because he's taking all the credit for it. God never gets the glory. That's where we can tell a difference. That man by the name of Todd Bentley years ago was kicking people in the face and everything else and said he had the gifts of all this. He said he cast 5 demons out of himself. He's powerful, isn't he? Thought to myself, we obviously weren't saved. I don't know how them demons got across the bloodline. I'll tell you why there won't no bloodline. They're not our gifts. The thought that a man can possess one of these gifts is completely false. A man or a woman may pray until they're more surrendered to one of the gifts than the others, but that does not mean it's there. My friend, you've got to understand this. The Bible tells us now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are all diversities of operations, but in the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the prophet. With all. It's not yours, it's God's. Now, can somebody yield themselves more than their neighbor? Oh, yes. You best believe there's somebody that's really seeking and praying and open themselves up to the will of God and the Spirit and the gifts. You guarantee they'll be used more than person over there that never seeks for them. There should never be a jealousy among them. It should be common sense. You seek for them, God can use you. We look at this word right here. Notice this in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To note the word given. Now I want you to get this word given in the Greek. Get this. It carries with it several meanings. But it means to deliver, to grant, to minister, to offer. And it can mean, as you study the word, to strike with the palm of the hand. The gifts of the Holy Ghost, my friend, are just like that. It's when the Holy Ghost touches an individual and allows them to be used. But He can just as quickly take it away. You ever heard this saying? And if you never heard it before, bear with me. I'll explain it. When a preacher says, I felt the anointing lift. There's been times I'm preaching and I know God's using me. And there's times I'm preaching and I just know God has me teach. But there has been times preaching I knew what I knew and I knew what God was telling me. And there's been times where I've given the altar call and I felt such a burden. I wept and I cried. And then nobody would respond. And brothers and sisters, I felt it leave. And I would close the service down. You ask my wife, I'd go to weep because I knew somebody should have responded. That's how the gifts operate. God may touch you for a moment because you made yourself available to Him. But I don't have the right to leave a service and say, God, this is mine. I'm keeping it. God can just take it away just as quickly. It can be used, my friends, on your job. You could be talking to somebody and you've been praying and God could touch you. And allow you to have a word of wisdom. And you can look at somebody and you can speak to them. You can be with your family. All of a sudden God gives you a word of knowledge. And you know something that they don't even know you know. It could be a place that you're praying and God can use you. And give you that virtue of miracles. And you can touch somebody and pray for them. Let me move along. I know I've taken my time. To whom are the gifts given? And we'll close here. Who receives the gifts? The Bible tells us in the statement, it says, "As all these worketh in one the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as his will." I believe that the Scripture is great news because it tells us, my friend, gifts are given to every man as the Spirit wills. When the Spirit wills for it to happen, it can happen. And notice this, it also tells us, look closely with me at the word severally. This is important because many people teach that you can have 2 gifts, you can have 3 gifts, or you can have all 9. I'll tell you, God will give you the gifts you need when the moment comes. Somebody can say, well, there's 3 gifts, I know that I'm direct. No, what about this? I want to say, God, whatever the situation calls for, use me. It shouldn't be your seat. No, God, use me. Whatever it is, a complete spiritual man like Paul was, I believe God could use him in any 9 of the gifts any time that he needed to because Paul had opened himself up to him. And Paul could be standing before Agrippa and feel it. And God would give him words to speak. And then kings would tremble. And what was the one say? He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian because God used him. Who are the gifts for? Let me give this, my friend. This is the best thing I can come up with. I believe the deciding factor on who will receive the gifts in our church are directly affected. Listen to me. Who receives the gifts are those that hunger and seek for the gifts. They are the ones that will be used. As we look through the Bible, that's what the Bible tells us, certain things like this. But covet earnestly the best gifts. He says, covet them. Earnestly covet them. He also tells us different times, Lord, about being blessed when we hunger. He tells us that we are to seek for the gifts. That word there to covet, those words there to seek after those. That word there means to have a zealousy for the gifts. My altar call is this tonight, and it's simple. Do you have a zealousy for the gifts of the Spirit? I want you to focus on yourself right now, please. Is there a zealousy inside of you? To where you? When's the last time you said recently, Lord, use me in these gifts? If you're seeking for the baptism, is there a zealousy inside of you to seek for the things of the Spirit? Can we stand to our feet tonight? Help us tonight, God. Help us. We must understand tonight as we deal with the gifts of the Spirit, we've got to make room for the moving of the Holy Ghost in our churches. There's got to be the gifts, all nine of them, my friend. You know what we need tonight, God, as I look at these Scriptures? You know what we need in Abundant Life Tabernacle? We need, my friend, the gift of wisdom in our church, don't we? The Word of Wisdom. Don't we need those? As I read through the Bible, let me read over these to you, my friend. It lets us know that to one is given by the Spirit the Word of Wisdom. How many knows we need the Word of Wisdom? If there's ever been an hour we need godly wisdom in our midst, it's right now. Some of you seeking direction in your lives, guess what you need? You don't need Derek's wisdom or Brother Glenn's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. You need a brand new outlook on your life. It lets us know that also there's the Word of Knowledge. How many knows we need the Word of Knowledge? I want to know about the things of God. What about how many knows this tonight? How many needs faith? That, you know, I love that when you study that gift of faith. It's not your faith, it's when God imparts to you His faith. You think you've got faith, you ought to see God's. You think you know something, you ought to see what God knows. You think you can believe, there's not a doubt in His mind. And isn't it wonderful, them services where you feel it empower you? And you feel like you can just run through a troop and leap over a wall because God's operating faith in your life. That virtue. How many would agree as well, my friend, tonight we need healing. Man, sickness. We need healing. We need the working of miracles. We need the discerning of spirits. But I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Covet earnestly the gifts. Seek for the gifts. Do you have a zealousy for? What we're going to do during this altar call, I want to pray that God will use us in the gifts of the Spirit. You say, Brother Derek, do you know what you're opening the door up to? Yeah, I do. I know. When I tell people to seek for the gifts of the Spirit, I'm opening the door up to God. What if somebody... I'm not worried about somebody. What if... I'm not worried about that. Don't be so... Don't ain't nothing to be afraid of. There's enough real power of the Holy Ghost that it can quench anything that's false. I'm not so... don't be intimidated. The Holy Ghost is not intimidated by this world. The Holy Ghost is not going to wring His hands. What if they get in the flame? He's not worried about that. I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost is worried about. If we're being used or not. I look around. I see these different faces. I love for God to use you. You won't find a greater joy or a greater time to give God glory in your life. It's when you're completely yielded to His will in a service. In your whole life, of course. But when you've completely left all of your agendas at the door, you walk into a room and God completely looks at you and says, I can use that one tonight. He's filled, He's seeking, and He touches you. And God uses you to edify the church. It's not just my job to edify the church. It's your job to help edify the church. What I want to do tonight is simple. I know this is, how do you give an altar call after this? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want us to find a place to pray tonight. No, we won't even have nobody on the piano for right now. I want everybody in Abundant Life Tabernacle, find you a place to pray and ask God for the gifts. If you're not filled, ask God to fill you. But ask God for the gifts of the Spirit. Let's find us a place and pray tonight. Ain't need them pews. God, I hope you receive from God's Word tonight. Amen. Holy Ghost, do a mighty work in our midst tonight. I give